Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
And lo, the gods looked down, and they saw that it was icy on the lake, and they said, "Hey, I don't know if you're doing anything later. You want to rent some skates and just kind of see what happens? We could go out a little, I don't want to call it a date, but maybe just like skate around, and you could teach me a little bit, and that would be pretty nice." And the other gods were like, "Yeah, sure, whatever, no big deal. I'm Alex."
And then the god of the hot tub was like, "Oh, you get in me, because that's a fucking place. I'm Justin."
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the latest episode, the seventh episode, I believe, of season three of American Gods, Fire and Ice, bringing it all together.
Oh,
get a little
man,
fire.
That's great.
Get a little ice. You got yourself a party. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. You just got a moist room afterwards.
It's
because the ice melts.
Steam. That's how steam is made, Pete.
Oh, okay. All
yeah. Right. I get an ice cube and a flame, and I just steam up my kitchen. That's my weekend activity.
Oh, that's fun. Now, as usual, spoiler warning, we're going to be talking about the big moments in the episode, broad strokes of the plot, as we very cleverly hinted at. The landlord, Marguerite, I think her name
Marguerite,
is.
Marguerite,
I keep forgetting.
She,
even in the episode, I'm like, that's landlord. Her character name is landlord.
I mean, me too, but I think she prefers to go by the landlord,
yes.
Especially in intimate situations.
Yeah, well, she's definitely getting the rent in a different way this month.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Overdue.
Come on, be an adult about this.
Never. Shadow Moon finally seals the deal after a nice little skating date with the landlord, uses some of his powers, which is interesting.
Yeah,
that's a big step for him.
Ice powers.
Great bar trick.
And people, of course, still looking for Allison throughout this episode. She's missing. He has a showdown with Derek, classic television character Derek. We find out a lot more about him this episode. That's kind of what's going on with Shadow. Meanwhile, Laura Moon is teaming up with Salim and Danny Trejo, a.k.a. Mr. World, try to kill Mr. Wednesday. They make a little bit of a deal there. There's some animal footage in the background that I think has nothing to do with what they were talking about, but certainly there's a lot of that. That was fun.
I just wanted to point out, to pull back the curtain a little bit, we watch this, and then I stop for tacos in between. So I just wanted to let people know, in honor of Danny Trejo, I went out and I got myself some tacos.
Man.
But they're not Danny Trejo tacos.
I wish... All right. You know, I don't have access to Danny Trejo tacos. I live in California, the sunshine state where everybody gets tacos.
But I'm telling you, Pete, that Danny Trejo would be mad about your non-Trejo taco purchase.
I think Danny Trejo would appreciate the fact that when I see him, I want tacos and I'm supporting a local taqueria.
To be fair to Pete, Justin, he did go to that Irish place down the block that serves tacos, Trejo Tacos.
Oh, come on.
Oh, run by Mikey O'Tray.
Yes, of the O'Tray family. So that's what's going on with Shadow Moon. And Laura Wednesday, meanwhile, is being hunted by a beast. And that leads to a big reveal at the end of the episode that Tyr, his brother, is the person who's been coming through him all along, messing things up, and now Tyr has Shadow, which probably is going to lead to some sort of a showdown. Lots of other things happen in the episode here, but this definitely feels like a big turning point for the season. What'd you guys think about this one?
This was an emotional episode for me. I mean, started off riding high, you know, like got a lot of cars, but then what sucks is I have to root for Laura Moon in this episode, and I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't care if everybody dies. I'm not going to do it. But wow. And then a lot of kind of fun brotherly rival stuff, which I can very much relate to. And then some more intrigue from the SNL lady. So I think
Julia Sweeney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mrs. Henselman.
Yeah, exactly. Just one of the, I think this was a great episode. There's a little something for everybody, but definitely for me, an emotional roller coaster.
You had to like seeing the clunker on the ice, right, Pete?
Fucking somebody save that car. I don't care who it is. Somebody save it.
Pete, when you see people like ice skating on a lake, are you like, somebody help them from drowning?
No.
Come summer, they're all going to be drowning.
Oh, I did forget to mention Bilquis's plotline, where she is finding herself as a god. She starts to have some visions, tracks them down, and has a classic Obi-Wan to Yoda moment by the end of the episode. So that's kind of what's going on with her. But Justin, what was your take on this episode?
I like this episode a lot. It definitely feels like a strong pivot toward the end of the season. It feels like a strong pivot toward the end of the season.
It sounds like you got a peanut gallery over there. Is everybody okay? Should you pass the mic around a little bit, or what's going on?
No, my daughter doesn't respect our American Gods podcast. Oh, and wow. She only wants strawberries.
She came with strawberries. Can I have strawberries, please?
Yes, I'll send some over from Mikey O'Tray's strawberry side
great.
Business.
I could use some.
As I was saying, I like this episode as a pivot to the finale, sort of the finale rack of this season. And it really, I thought this is positioning Bilquis to be a big power player in the final storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, she seems to be the one who's still gathering strength. Wednesday's losing ground. Shadow seems like he's just continues to be a pawn, despite the fact that he can make it snow whenever he wants
man.
To impress a date. He doesn't feel like he's anywhere closer to figuring out what's going on for him. Laura, while on a trail to get her revenge, feels like it's misguided. She's being taken advantage of because her needs suit
but
God, the new
good
gods.
Thing Salim's there to help her ass out.
Yeah, I mean, I do like them as a partnership, but I just don't think they are doing what's best for the world. They're, again, sort of another chess piece on this board. While Bilquis, of anyone, feels like she is right in the middle of the old and new gods. And we get we can talk about this scene sort of in a larger context, but she goes, she has this vision. She goes to this this spot. She has a sort of a fun dance connection with
old
some
school,
of the people there.
Dance party, man.
Yeah.
And what's nice is, you know, you got the foe of the old lady who's not ready to dance yet. And that is a tough foe, you know. And, Bilquis had to adjust her strategy. You can't just run up on an old lady. She's not going to let you do that. Not before she's had her plate. You got to respect that plate, man.
Got to have that plate.
Yeah. This is interesting to me. I understand what you're saying. I'm still not quite clear what the show is doing with Bilquis because she's been in so many different modes. Love the actress, think she's great, love the character, but this is something new for her that I'm still adjusting to, and it almost feels like like Law and Order, American Gods or something like that. Like she's investigating a mystery and trying to find out what's going on. We get that reveal that this was the midwife who birthed Shadow Moon. And I don't know if I wrote down exactly what she says, but basically she does the "no, there is another" thing there, which
she got to find the other half. You know, moon's only half of it. You got to find
Shadow
that.
It's only a half moon. It's like one of those cookies.
Oh, yeah. I love me a half moon cookie, man. Come on.
If I could name a cookie, what cookie could I name that you'd be like, nope, not for me?
A shit cookie.
Okay, well, it's unfortunate that's what I'm baking over here.
Oh, man, that's too bad. I don't know why.
Got a fresh batch of shit cookies coming in the oven.
That sounds gross, man.
Let me just continue with this thought, though. The two things that I was going, one, there was the plot thing of, okay, who is this other? It's probably Cordelia. We've already speculated that's probably his sister. She's in the exact same position as him. So maybe we'll get some sort of reveal there, or maybe there'll be some sort of twist. Who knows? Also, I did start to get worried based on Cordelia finding out the stuff and being so centered that maybe we're heading to a place where Shadow Moon is going to be killed off of the show and it's going to pivot over to Cordelia. There's been so many changes in the show.
No.
I don't know. No.
No, I think
I was worried
gonna...
that it would be Laura Moon was going to be the other half. That's what I'm worried about.
Sure.
But I do like the fact that, like, we got to get the kind of like the gatekeeper and the keymaster together to kind of fight off this war that's coming. I also really am happy that Bilquist is kind of the one, because she seems like the smartest person to be able to handle this stuff. So I'm glad that it kind of falls on her shoulders to kind of get the team together and ready.
I think that the reason I think Bilquist is going to become sort of the main hero to sort of unite everything here is it feels like there are two options. Like all of the, rather than old gods versus new gods, it feels like it's the old and new gods all survive, or Wednesday survives, consolidating power around him. And so Bilquist is sort of being the one who needs to bring this other half together, probably a new god, that will then work with Shadow and somehow merge everyone together into some new pantheon. Ooh. Wednesday, on their hand, other hand, is sort of consolidating power and moving everyone so that he can just be the focus of whatever this final climax is going to be. That's my prediction.
Yeah,
interesting.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room, or rather the elephant that wasn't in the room that we haven't really discussed in the podcast?
The elephant in the lake, Ganesh?
About the elephant Larry in the room?
No, I'm not talking about either of those things. What I'm actually talking about is Marilyn Manson. We haven't really talked about that on the podcast.
After his first
two appearances on American Gods, Evan Rachel Wood and multiple, I believe, other people came out with some very serious abuse allegations at him. And stars, not immediately, but I think within the next day or so, came out and said, hey, we are cutting all of his appearances as Johan out of the show. You won't see him again. So when they started mentioning Johan in this episode, I was like, oh my God, what are they going to do here? How are they going to even handle this? I thought, like, it's such a relatively minor character. I thought it was the sort of thing where they cut out one or two scenes, they would never bring it back again. But here we find out throughout the course of the episode that Johan has turned into this toothy beast, and in a twist gets ripped to shreds by Tyr by the end of the episode. So really the only time we see Marilyn Manson in any way is when his body has been eviscerated and it's a fake version of Marilyn Manson. How did you feel about this? How were you going through the same emotions I was during the episode, where I was like, please just don't get out of this. Stop asking for Johan. I don't want to see this.
Well, yeah, I was like, how are they going to get around this? It feels like a major story point. But the fact that I don't think anything was reshot for this. I feel like this was the story all along, that Tyr would kill Johan. So it is funny that Stardust was like, no problem, we're going to do our best to get rid of him. And all they really had to do was cut a couple moment scenes of him like killing someone.
Yeah.
And then we just see his corpse in this episode. So it's like they maybe recut just some of those earlier shots in this episode of him hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it was a pretty easy lift to be like, oh, don't worry, we're about to kill him in this show. So
in the worst way possible.
Revenge satisfied. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like when you watch Baby Driver and the car runs over Kevin Spacey's head a bunch of times, and you're like, all right, I feel a little better about this.
Yeah, you're like, did they add that? Oh, no, that's just what you planned on doing to this character, and it just happens to satisfy what we as a culture have decided is the best thing? Perfect.
Yeah, I think that's fair. On the other hand, I think it actually, in a weird way, benefited the episode, because you had these really nice horror moments throughout, which we haven't necessarily gotten in the show, which
and
I thought were great.
We also got like a Predator type, you know, they did the Predator shot where
that's
it was
what
like
I'm talking about. Those were the horror moments in the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Predator is, it's, you know, I mean, it's a horror, I guess, but not really, you know, it's more of an action.
It's more of a bodybuilding movie with a horror premise.
Yeah, it's more about being oiled up and, you know, flexing in front of a camera. No, but I think that, like,
I'm pretty sure Predator is just a meme that they actually back end developed into a movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It started as a GIF.
Yeah. But Pete, it is funny, you don't like horror movies, but you like Predator. So maybe that's why you feel that way.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying, like, it was fun to see the kind of, like, night vision thing or whatever with the monster for a moment. And I was like, oh, we're going to have like a, this will be the Predator episode. But then it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too nitpicky about it. I think it was more like a werewolf monster thing vision than specifically the night vision Predator thing. But I get what you're saying. Let's not spend too much time on this.
Oh, wow. Well if you're going to be a real dick apart, let's really fucking take it apart then. Then what monster thing are you referring to?
Listen, man, I need to deal with the comments on YouTube later that are going to be like, actually, that was not a heat signature that you saw through the lens of Johan the Monster.
I don't appreciate you doing my voice as this commenter voice.
I don't appreciate you leaving somehow voice comments on YouTube. How are you even doing that?
Why don't we let Pete handle the comments on this episode?
Smart.
Sounds good.
Smart.
Risky. Risky.
Very risky. The other horrifying thing I was curious I thought about Pete, because I know Pete doesn't like scary moments. How'd you feel about the people coming out of the snow?
Yeah, the crazy snow people was really freaking me the fuck out. Also, I was really upset that Shadow Moon didn't immediately go for the gold coin. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I see a gold coin, I'm going after it. I'm not
even
gonna,
if it's
like,
under a clunker? That thing might fall through the ice any second.
Don't, will you watch your goddamn mouth when you're talking about that car, all right? That car...
Yeah, that car's in its prime, Alex.
That car may or may not be in its prime, but is a car and doesn't deserve the death of... You know, that car did its job, lived its life, tried to get people to point A to point B. You shouldn't just drown that car for your amusement.
Drown it.
It's fucking unbelievable that you're skating and have a good time while someone's about to die on the ice and no one gives a shit.
Is your worry that, like, in a year or two time, when you're the same age as the clunker, we're going to do the same thing to you?
I'm just worried about those kids, like, maybe when the weather's nice, want to go sleeping, and one of them get caught in the fucking, like, trunk of some fucking car that's been dying there, you know, and then the kid can't make it back up to the top. And dies in some fucking car because people are evil.
We should say that Pete also lives a strict Super Mario lifestyle. When he sees gold coins, he chases them. When he sees a brick above his head, he jumps and smashes his head into it. When he sees a mushroom on the ground, you know he's going to eat it and hope it makes him bigger.
You better not have a flower pot out without a flower in it, because I'm going to fucking jump in there.
Yeah, we actually met Pete when he was trying to jump inside of a pipe to get to a warp zone. It didn't work. He just got his feet dirty.
But
big old, he had a bunch of shit cookies.
Which was really impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
What were we talking about? Let's talk about the Shadow Moon storyline a little bit. We've been jumping all over the place. I like this. I like Shadow in this episode. I think he has been great this season as he's slowly been continuing to find himself and found himself more comfortable. I was talking last episode about how he needs to be in a Netflix rom-com ASAP. Same thing on the date with the skating. Very cute.
Very cute. And then at the end of the episode, he needs to be in a Skinamax feature film.
If you get in a hot tub, that's the only way things are going.
Yeah, truth. Dangerous, those tubs. Regular tubs, normal. Mm-hmm. Make it hot, it gets hot.
Yeah, that's why I always stay in a nice cold tub. I don't want anybody touching me.
Oh, what are you doing tonight? Having some wine in my cold tub. No one's going to have fun. Yeah. Well, I agree. Shadow's great in this episode. He's investigating the Derek situation, and that ends up being just Derek trying to live his own life, get out. He likes to wear women's underwear. And I thought it was an interesting sort of red herring for Shadow, who's solving – he's like solving mysteries in Lakeside, but they're not – at all connected to the gods. What does this mean for the story? I don't know. It feels like maybe he's being maybe Hinzelman's doing this, is trying to keep a lid on him, trying to keep him there, solving little different things that don't really amount to much in the god storyline, so that he is just ready for whatever she's working for Wednesday, whatever Wednesday needs him to do. That's my predict.
The line, you know, like, so I like to wear female shit sometimes, you know, was just really nice. It was magical. It kind of went from being like Derek is a part of this thing to like, oh, Derek's dealing with his own things. And, you know, that's got to be tough. So it was a fun kind of like fake out with that.
Yeah. I was kind of iffy on it. I feel like they started playing for a joke, then switched it to something serious. Didn't love the joke part, and I'm glad that they hit what they did. Particularly, what's the cops guy? Carl, I guess. Immediately, Jeff,
Chad,
Chad is his name. Chad,
I think so.
Something with the C. I don't know. The officer guy basically being like, I don't care. You committed a crime. Do whatever you want. That's cool. That speech was great. But the first part of it is like, this is a nothing character that we in the podcast got wrong at the end of the last episode because we couldn't remember it at all. It felt like they overplayed it a little bit there, which bugged me. But they moved on quickly enough that it wasn't a big deal.
That's why I think it points to maybe a larger idea. Otherwise, why I have it in here? It has to be something about keeping Shadow distracted, I think. I also thought it was interesting. Hinzelman's charging $5 a day for skates. Buy the skates.
Yeah, just get the skates at that point. How expensive are they? Are they $500 skates? What's going on?
Yeah.
Just get the skates. The other thing, I don't know if you guys caught this, but when Shadow helps her put up a poster on the wall, it's a poster for Hansel and Gretel. So that seemed pretty telling in terms of things that are going on with Hinzelman and how she is cooking people into pasties.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
That's what I think.
Pasties are people, man.
We've said that on literally every episode so far, but it's true.
Yes, it's true this time.
And I don't know about you guys, but I live in a very diverse neighborhood. I've been going around looking and asking, hey, what kind of meat do you use in your pasties? So far, no human.
Not
weird.
Yet.
But you'll it's a bummer. I'm going to keep looking.
Nobody asks you what a pasties is?
They call them empanadas here.
Wow. Alex is a cannibal, a known cannibal. Mm-hmm.
One day, I haven't done it yet, but I keep hoping. I keep working towards it.
You'll get there.
Yes.
What did you think? I mean, Sonny, you talked about an elephant in the room. We did. There was an elephant in the lake.
I know, that Ganesh. Was a bad turn of phrase.
What did you think about that? And a gold coin comes up, and he doesn't get it, and he's interrupted by Marguerite before he can walk over. You assume he was supposed to walk over to where the coin was, and maybe he would have gotten it in his hand. What's going on here?
Well, he did crack his head really hard on the ice, so I wasn't sure if that was real or not.
I don't know. That was real. Of course it was real. I mean, like we were talking about with Salim telling Laura, hey, the TV was talking to me, and Laura saying, shut up about that. I've got to tell you about something else. When they're in this world where that sort of stuff happens all the time. It was the same sort of thing with this where I was like, I feel like we're past the point where Shadow is refusing to believe there are gods and weirdness of the world. So he should have gone over and gotten that coin. What was it?
Yeah, I know. It was driving me nuts, man.
Yes. But he is very refusal of the call this episode. He, other than the snow thing that he does, he wants to keep his simple life in Lakeside, even though he was against it at first. He clearly wants to be with the landlord. That's making him happy. And I think even the simplicity, like you were talking about, Justin, of the Derek mystery is good. Like it's dealing with things that are within his grasp that he can deal with versus a battle between old gods and new gods for the fate of the world.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Like, he comes face-to-face with Wednesday, and Wednesday's like, you're just going to sit in the sidelines, or you're going to get in this thing? Like, what's going on? He's like, nah, I like the sidelines. I like driving a sweet Thunderbird, but not taking care of it. I mean, did you see the shape of that Thunderbird? I mean, come on, man, with that the snow and the salt that gets on those cars, like, if you don't take care of that, it can eat away at your car, you fuck.
I mean, a car's value depreciates the instant it drives off the lot, Pete. There's nothing you can do about it. We're all clunkers. We're just trying to...
No, we're not, okay? You can take care of cars, and they can last longer, okay? They're an investment.
Okay, go move. Why don't you move to the desert where nothing changes?
When my son was born, the doctor asked me if I wanted to hold him, and I said, nah, that's a clunker.
That's what you named him, right? Clunker's album?
Clunker's album, yeah.
Can we talk about...
He's still on that ice, I think.
There was a really funny moment in the beginning that I want to talk about. Instead of a mic drop, they had a body drop moment. Did you guys think that was funny? I thought that was kind of like enjoying a nice shot of the boat of a car just like sailing down the road. And all of a sudden they did a body drop into the end of frame. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was, I don't know, I didn't take it quite so mic drop, body drop as you did, but okay. I mean, there's nothing, yeah.
Whenever anything drops, it's a mic drop.
I don't know, I just thought it was kind of a fun moment. It just seemed like a, you know, body dropping out of the sky.
Well, we could talk more about what you think is going on here with Johan turning into a tooth monster, Tyr turning the tables, and they have this whole montage at the end of pretty much everybody in the cast and where they are, with Tyr having been pulling the strings on a lot of things that have been happening in the background. What's the plan here? Is this just revenge on Wednesday? Is there something bigger? What's going on?
Well, if we're saying that burning body was something that Tyr did or something that Johan did?
That's my question, I guess, because we get to see Gunther later on has very similar looking burnt bodies. So maybe it's something Johan did, but maybe it's something Tyr did, and it's just not clear.
It seemed like a Tyr tease where Tyr was like,
Tyr tease.
Hey, your boy Johan was blowing people up. So here's a charred body from that, like, or I know that you blew up that motorcycle bar. So here's a charred body from that, like. You can't outrun me. I know what you're up to. It's just classic older young brothers, you know, fighting shit, you know.
To me, I took it as Johan being like, do you ever have like a cat? And when they hunt in your lawn or whatever, or kill like a bird or a mouse, they leave the corpse on your porch. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing. And we had this wild cat that did that a lot. And Johan was leaving the corpse of the person that he killed for Wednesday, dropped it in front of his car. That's what I thought.
All right. Cool. Could be.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess that
sounds
nice.
You made us talk about my murdering cat more?
It's funny, though, Alex, you brought up the fact that the SNL lady is eating kids, and she did, like, they really did hang on the fact that she was like, yeah, I work at this thing where I just work with children alone all the time, and just, like, the way that they hung on that. I didn't catch the Hansel and Gretel poster, so that really clicks into place now that you mention that.
Well, I'll also mention there was the whole exchange about her having coffee, and she's, like, not supposed to have enough coffee. Maybe she goes caffeine crazy, right, and starts baking kids into pies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happens, caffeine does horrible things to people, man.
When my daughter was born, I named Clunker, we cooked her and ate her in a pie because I had a second cup of coffee. Does that make sense?
It doesn't. Okay. Because your daughter's still alive.
Does that bring a couple of threads together kind of a little bit? Does that work? Should I workshop this a little more?
No, I think you've definitely... The doctor's like, you're going to name this kid Clunker too? Two Clunkers? They're like, no, we're down to one.
One of them's still on the ice. What else should we talk about with this episode? We've definitely been very focused here.
Yeah. Well, we have... let's talk about Laura and Salim.
Yeah.
Laura going hard and Salim being like sort of taking the role of her lawyer. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yeah.
I mean, Laura continues to be sort of the breath of fresh air in the show to me. She feels like she's seeing the action every episode and sort of like, why is everyone being so serious and weird acting and posturing? She's very anti-posturing. That's why I really liked her in front of these big, like, dramatic animal screens in the meeting, just being like, what? Why is this so stressful with a video rolling?
Yeah, it's always the person who comes back after they've died and come back and has got a new outlook on life that is always like over the little things. But I think that I don't enjoy her, but Salim is there to save her ass time after time. He kills that murdering ant that was going to bite her and kill her. Luckily, he saves her. And then, even though she doesn't deserve it, he still negotiates for her. So they got a fair shot at this. And this is going to come down to a little bit of a battle royale. And I'm just sad that I have to root for Laura Moon.
Does that ever happen to you when you're watching nature footage? Like the animals actually crawl out of the screen?
Yeah, a lot. I watched the documentary Jurassic Park, and I was surrounded by fucking raptors.
Oh, I watched the documentary Jurassic Park 3, and the same thing happened to me.
I don't know what you're smoking before you're watching, Alex, but maybe you should tone that down a little bit. You know what I mean?
Smoking a little Clunker, you know what I'm talking about?
No. Jurassic Park 2.
Leave it in the smoker for a while, that makes the pies taste real nice.
Oh my god!
Jurassic Park 2 was a fictional movie. Yes. The other ones were documentaries.
Well, it's like the Blair Witch thing. The first Blair Witch was real; that was a documentary, and then Blair Witch 2: Book of Shadows was a fictionalized version, and that's why nobody liked it.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, the Laura stuff was great. I agree. I also really like the stuff with Cordelia kind of bringing her into the circle and having her freak out. Wednesday being on a defensive position, I thought was really good throughout the episode as well. I really loved the landlord and Shadow making love at a Christmas tree farm. I thought that was very nice. That's a great place to make love if you've never done it.
I want to set that scene in a snow globe that I can put on my mantle, because that's what it felt like to me.
Stars should make them.
I thought Dunk was fun, the way he still wanted to do the riddle. I thought that was a fun moment.
Dunk?
Yeah, the guy who wanted to cut out Wednesday's Dunk. Oh, yeah, Gunther.
Where did you come up with Dunk?
I will say, I'll be on Pete's side on this. The way they kept referring to him, I was like, what did you say? Because it kept sounding like Dunk or Gunth or whatever.
Oh,
it was maybe it was hard to hear.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the asshole here. That doesn't seem likely, but maybe.
Wow, quite a dare. And I do think, I love this montage at the end. The song was awesome. You Want It Darker by Leonard Cohen. And just really, I feel like signaling to us, all right, this is everybody. Technical Boy, All Messed Up, Hinzelman, yeah. Chad, Marguerite, the seal with the fish in its mouth. Mm-hmm. Huge character coming forward.
It's very surprising to me that there are three episodes left, not one. You know, we've had 8-episode seasons before. This is definitely the sort of thing with this montage at the end. Like you're saying, it felt like, here we go, the final round, one episode to go. But nope, there's three more.
But I would argue there's so much left to explain and tie up in this show that I think this last 3-episode chunk is going to be sort of one long final episode.
That's I also really liked how Bilquist like changed up the rhythm at that old school dance party. That was really kind of fun and smart, the way that all kind of like happened, where she was just stomping her feet a little bit. I thought that was really magical, and I really liked the way that kind of broke the spell, and the old lady got up and got down. So I thought that was really very beautifully shot and really communicated without words in such a cool way.
Before we wrap up here, who is most worthy of your worship this episode? Justin, you want to go first?
Great question. I was saying this at the beginning of the episode, but I got to give it up for Bilquis. I like the way they've been able to really shape her story this season and give her a purpose that I think is actually going to be much larger in the final run of the episodes of this season than I thought initially, because of the way they've positioned her in these last few episodes.
Pete, what about you?
I got to get up for the cars. I got really nervous about that last shot of the car there, but that sweet two-tone Lincoln they're rolling in right now is really nice. It's very... very smooth ride. I really hope we get more of that moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that is an Easter egg for Ricky Whittle's character from The 100, which was named Lincoln? Because I do.
Yeah, def. There's no question.
Do you think it's an Easter egg to the Pixar movie Cars?
There were cars in that, right?
Yeah, the second one, the first one obviously was a fictional animated movie. The second is a documentary, animated documentary. And Pete, you're doing a live action remake of Cars, right?
Yeah, that's true.
With just Cars.
And all improvised, the live action shot for shot.
Great.
You're just filming traffic and you're going to just do the voices for the cars.
You're goddamn right.
Technically, they could call this season of American Gods Cars on Ice.
That's nice.
I'm going to give it up to Shadow
Moon. That clunker's going down. That clunker's going down.
It's going down.
Dude, watch your mouth.
Shadow Moon this episode, as I've been talking about. Love all the romance stuff. Thought it was super fun. It's great. Give him a Netflix movie. Call it To All the Gods I've Loved Before. Whatever you want to do.
Nice,
always
good.
Be my worship. Something like that. Whatever it is, it's cool. Just make it happen, Netflix. Specifically, no other streaming service or network or movie studio. Just Netflix. That's the only thing I want.
Strong call out. I like it.
Thanks. If you'd like to support this podcast and other podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to crowdcast in YouTube, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show at A Godcast on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com. For this podcast and many more, until next time, we'll see you in the hot tub.
Oh, I'm going to pop champagne and just slide into a cold tub till I'm shivering to death.